that you have something to take some notes on this evening. And we begin in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. And we consider tonight how to walk right. How to walk right. In recent years, it's become a common practice to monitor your walking with a pedometer, or maybe now on your smartwatch attached to your iPhone and all that. How many steps did you take? And Brother Fox figured out, Brother Fox figured out that if you have it on your watch and you play the piano real hard, that you're getting a lot of steps in. And he was monitoring his steps for a while. It took him a while to figure out. On the days he played the piano for a while, he seemed like he walked a lot more. No, it's just he's vibrating that wrist with the watch on it. And so he was taking great comfort in the fact, I got 8,000 or 9,000 steps in today. Got 8,000 or 9,000 steps today. Of course, he was playing the piano for a little while, and that probably really didn't count. But, you know, if your numbers look good, your numbers look good. Whatever it takes. Walking is a basic exercise, and we've discussed this at some in passing and been parts of messages and all before. And walking is pretty easy to describe. Put one foot in front of the other, lean slightly forward, and repeat. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, leaning slightly forward, repeat, 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 and you'll make progress when you're walking. And the Christian life is compared in many, many places in Scripture. Our following the Lord Jesus, our life of obedience, is identified as a walk. And so we look at several of those and gain some principles this evening about walking right. And so we begin there in Colossians chapter 2. As ye have therefore, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How many have received Christ Jesus the Lord? Say amen. And then the imperative is, so, because you just acknowledged that, so walk ye in him. In other words, the daily advancement of our life ought to be reflective of Jesus Christ. And so Wednesday night crowd, you're already on this track, I hope, but let's just say it out loud. Let's be careful and cautious that we are not subjected and submit to the idea that we can somehow compartmentalize our lives, that there is the spiritual part and then there's the other part. But it's all as unto Christ. And we are, as believers, we are to walk. Every little move we make, every little step that we're advancing, every step in the walk of life is to be a walk, a step in Christ, in obedience to him, reflective of him, so that we are projecting what Christ has done for us, projecting on the outside what Christ has done for us on the inside. So walk ye in him. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just over a few pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 1 reads, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, those two things tied together, so ye would abound more and more. So the other thing we need to be on guard about improper thinking about the Christian life is that God's only interested in the big stuff. God is only paying attention at the massive forks in the road, at the big decisions. But rather, the biblical principle is he's interested in every advancement, every step. And our daily walk ought to be, there's a way it ought to be, and Paul is referring to these Thessalonican believers. Remember, I was teaching you these things when I was with you, how ye ought to walk, what your daily progress in the Lord ought to be. And to please God, that those things go hand in hand. So we can please God in the little advancements that we make through life, through each day. So if it's possible to please God, what then is it also possible to do? To displease God. To walk in such a way that God is disappointed in us, that God is displeased with us, that God is grieved by our walk that is contrary to the how we ought to walk. How you ought to walk. I worked for a fellow in Chattanooga. He was the son of the newspaper owner and the publisher. The owner of the newspaper was Mr. Roy McDonald. When I went to work for the man, he was up in his early 80s and worked into his early 90s. He said he was never going to retire because as a newspaper publisher, he knew full well he read the obituaries every day. It seemed like everybody in the obituaries was retired. So he figured if he never retired, then his picture was never going to show up in the obituaries. At least that's how he joked about it and all. He was a Christian fellow and he understood the big picture, but he just liked working and worked. His son was the president of the company, the manager. His son was Mr. Frank McDonald. And he had a little funny saying he would make from time to time. And some of us thought, oh, that's kind of a silly thing. You kind of got it, but the way he was expressing it, it was memorable. And so we would quote him after the fact, of course. And he'd say, well, we're talking about some problem, some process we need to come up with, or some obstacle we've got to get by, you know, and we can't really figure it out. And he'd summarize it this way. Well, it ought to be what it ought to be. It ought to be what it ought to be, which was kind of a way of saying, you guys figure this out and come back to me with an answer. He didn't know what it ought to be, but it ought to be what it ought to be. And what it ought to be in the Christian life is we all ought to, as the Bible says there in 1 Thessalonians 4, we ought to walk and to please God. There's an expectation of God upon us. And he's saying you ought to walk as you ought to walk. And we know what that is. It's delineated for us. It's laid out for us. It's given to us in the pages of the Word of God. And that's why studying and learning and letting the Word of God influence your life is so critical. Because the Bible influences us and directs our walk even when we're not deliberately engaging and saying, all right, I gotta put on my spiritual cap here. No, if you're just permeating yourself with the Word of God, then you will begin to process life biblically, to think biblically, to have the mind of Christ. And so that our steps, as the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. In other words, it can just be the joy of life to do things God's way. And that's the fruit and the outflow, the overflow, if you will, of just saturating ourselves with the Word of God so that we think like God thinks, think like Christ would want us to think. So we identify a few things here. Number one, we talk about how we ought to walk right. What is how we ought to walk, walking in Him. Number one, walk worthy. Walk worthy. And we find this phrase directly in two of the epistles that Paul wrote, letters that he wrote to the Ephesians and letters that he wrote to the Colossians. In Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy. Worthy of our vocation, of our job, the assignment, the course of action. Walk worthy of what God has given us. Listen, friend, whatever job God has for you, it's not a little thing. It's not insignificant. What God has for you is the high calling of your life and can be set in your heart and in your mind as the purpose for your life. That in all things he might have the preeminence. That's the walk that is worthy of our vocation, the assignment, the course of action that has been commissioned to us. So he's talking about walking worthy of our vocation, but there's also the concept in that verse about walking worthy of our identification, because the verse goes on to say, wherewith ye are called. Who is it that's called us? Well, it's the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus. And so to walk worthy of being a follower of him, walk worthy of being one who has received a commission and orders and a plan and a purpose. Walk worthy. Then that exact phrase is used in a similar verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So here this phrase, walking worthy, is talking about walk worthy of our propagation, what we are to be producing, to be a fruitful Christian. The fruit of the Spirit given to us in Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, on and on it goes. The attributes of Christ, Christ-likeness being evident in our life. And so our walk ought to agree with the fruit that we're told to produce. And the fruit is produced when we're yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And so we might, well, I have a desire to please the Lord. I want the Holy Spirit to have power and influence in my life. But throughout the course of my day, have I really surrendered that to God? Have I really surrendered that to the Lord? Walking worthy of the fact that He is watching and He wants to be pleased with us. Worthy not only of our propagation, worthy of our education. It says increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And as your knowledge increases, your walk can be more productive. Do they still have in the Summer Olympics competitive walking races? Now, I remember back in the 70s and 80s and 90s that they have all the different distances, 100 meter sprint, 200 meter, 400, all of them go into the distance races and all that. But there used to be races of walking, so you couldn't leave the ground. Do they still do that? Is that still a thing? I haven't seen that for a while. The Olympic coverage is different now than it was. When I was young and younger, it was kind of wall-to-wall on one network, and you'd see little pieces of all of it. Now it's divided over 50 different channels, and you can't see it all. But the guys that did that, they looked kind of funny, because they're walking. They can't leap. They can't leave the ground, jump from one foot to the next like a runner does. And so they're kind of funny looking. But those guys could fly. They had learned technique. They had developed the appropriate muscles. And they could speed walk at phenomenal paces. If that's not part of the Olympics, I need to start a campaign to bring it back. Bring that back for its entertainment value alone. Because it was amazing what someone could do who had dedicated themselves to simply walking. How fast, how efficient, how productive that they could be. And we need to approach our walk with some of that dedication, some of that deliberate attention to detail, and learning the appropriate techniques, learning the appropriate development of spiritual muscles to just take every step in a way that pleases God, in a way that is worthy of who we are. Who are we? We're sinners saved by the grace of God, adopted into the family of God, called into the service of God, with the specific commission of telling everyone about Jesus. And every step to be reflective of that. Listen to the 89th Psalm, verse 15 and following. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. There is that concept again of God, that picture of the Lord watching us as we walk. Watching us. As we walk, are we walking in a way that He is pleased? Or are we walking in such a way that He is displeased? Is our walk worthy of one who is labeled as a Christ follower? See, those Olympic walkers, they were wearing the uniform and bore the flag of the United States or whatever country they particularly came from. And so they were representative of their nation of origin. They were representative of their team, their track and field team. And they identified. They were identifiable. Oh yeah, that's one of the Americans. That's one of the Japanese. That's one of the Nigerians. So as you walk in the course of life, that's a Christian. That's one of those Maranatha Baptist people. That's someone who has identified as being someone who loves the Lord. Well, they walk kind of funny for all that. Their walk doesn't really indicate that. Because walking can be mistakenly viewed as just an insignificant thing. But each step in the path of life, God is looking for us. Are we walking as we ought to walk? We ought to be walking in Him, in Christ, walking worthy. Number two, walk by faith. Walk by faith. You don't need to turn. I'll read it. It's familiar. You'll know it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by, what's the next word, class? Sight. Sight. Not by sight. We walk by faith. Trusting God. Trusting the Lord in the path that He is leading us in. Knowing that He only leads us in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Psalm 23:3. Effective walking in the physical world requires sight. You want to just walk with reckless abandon, you better know what's laying out in front of you. You might just walk right into something. You might, in the physical world, how many of you have ever walked right into a very clean glass door? Yeah, I've done that a time or two. And so you see, you know, in public places now you see stickers and things so people won't go right into the door. It's because sight is an important thing. Walking in the spiritual realm, walking in the path of life, walking in Christ requires not sight, but faith. A trust in the Lord Jesus. Believing Him. We know that the Bible teaches us that without faith it's impossible to please God. And we're talking about our walk pleasing the Lord. And so it ought to be a walk of faith. That we can confidently put out that next foot. Just confidently. And well, seems from my perspective that I might be stepping in a dangerous spot. I might be stepping in a mud hole. I might be going to step into something I don't like. I'm not even the direction. I don't know if this is the way I ought to go or not. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct what? Thy path. In other words, He's going to direct the very next step that you need to take. And we shortchange the power and the productivity and the beauty of our relationship with God when we get into negotiate mode with God. Well, I think that's the way you want me to go, but I don't know. How about we do it this way? Let me come at this from a little different angle. Don't try to negotiate with God. Don't try to convince God. Let's just trust God. Trust God. This is one reason our prayer lives ought to really include each day and in our personal time of prayer, just a lot of acknowledgement to God. That He knows everything. Just keep telling. Now, He knows He knows everything. But keep saying it to God because you're talking to yourself too, right? Just the acknowledgement that God knows everything. He can do anything. He is everywhere present. What reason could there possibly be for me to take a step contrary to the one He wants me to take? To walk by faith. God is always looking for a demonstration from us of our trust in Him. He's always looking for us to walk and act in faith. Again, from Hebrews. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He's always looking for that. He challenged the Jews in the Old Testament. Prove me. Try me out. Walk by faith. See if it doesn't work out really well for you. Prove me. Try me. See if I will not pour you out a blessing. Listen to the 84th Psalm. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, our God is our God, our shield. And look upon the face of thine anointed, for the day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God's not wanting to hold back on you. He's wanting to lavish on you. But our problem is we have a lack of faith and trust, and we think, well, I've figured out what's really good for me, and that's what I want. Rather than to say, Lord, you know what's best for me. And you know what's best for me right now. And in eternity, there's going to be a whole different set of what's best for me. And right now, there's all sorts of harm and hindrances. There's all sorts of problems and setbacks and burdens and sorrows in this life. And so I can easily be deceived. I can easily be mistaken. I can easily make bad choices. But if I trust God, he's not going to make a mistake. Never. Not going to happen. And he wants to give us and provide for us the things that are best. The will of God, as I heard one preacher so powerfully describe it to me, the will of God is what we would all choose if we could see it from God's perspective. We can't see it all. He sees every possibility and all the outflows and the outcomes of every possible decision. And yet, he masterfully just has a way to say, we'll go this way, here, over here, here. Now, he doesn't show us all that ahead of time. But he sees it all. He knows it all. And so it makes total sense to act in faith. Isn't that kind of an oxymoron? And we sum it down, distill it down to say God's way is the best way. Because if we trust him, he will give us good things as we are willing to walk uprightly God's way. We could trust him. We walk worthy. We walk by faith. We are told to walk in love, number 3. Ephesians 5:2, listen. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Well, don't you hate it when that happens? When the Bible tells us something specific to do like Christ did. That's tough. And to be honest, it's impossible except for one dynamic, Holy Spirit in us. We can't love other people like we're supposed to apart from the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Can't do it. But if we'll let God love through us, we can love people as we ought to love. And walk in love, Ephesians 5:2, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In other words, Christ's love was unlimited and there was follow-through. It's about what he gave. It's not just about what he felt or even what he would say, but it's about what he gave, what he gave. Amy Carmichael said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And real love is giving of yourself. And we are to walk. Remember, come back to what is walking. One foot in front of the other, leaning slightly forward, repeat. Just this consistency, just these little steps. Not some giant, magnificent thing. You know, well, I've filled my vault with love for the next 5 months because I did this one thing. Now, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do next hour. John 15:10, Jesus said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." In other words, if you really want to experience the unfiltered love of God, we filter it with our own disobedience. But if you want to get all the filters out of the way, the love of God, just be obedient to Him. Just live in a way that is pleasing to Him, that you're walking in Him. "Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." Dr. Bartlett often said to us, to know God is to love Him, and to love Him is to serve Him. And so our love is beyond our testimony that I love the Lord. It's good to say that. It's good to reinforce that, to remind yourself that you ought to love the Lord, that you ought to love other people in the name of the Lord. But the demonstration of love is our service. I love you, Lord. I'll serve you, Lord, for you are life to me. Living life to the fullest. The world has really weird ideas about what that means. And they could even become very evil ideas to what that means, living life to the fullest. Chasing the thrills of the world, dabbling in the sinful things of the world, the enticing sinful things. The devil makes evil look good until the trap is thrown. Living life, living each moment to the fullest. Certainly the world uses that concept to point people, to drag people, if you will, into the wrong things. You know, living life, going for the gusto. That's an old beer commercial from the 80s. Going for the gusto. Yeah. What's at the bottom of that gusto? Heartache. Pain. Sorrow, death. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. But living life to the fullest is this. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." This is the meaning of life, to love God with all your heart. And that your love would be epitomized by a walk. Walk in love. It's consistent. It's every moment. It's one after the other. Psalm 26:3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. God's only leading us in ways that to do things and to be thing that have dynamics in our lives that make our love relationship with God all the more powerful, all the more beautiful, all the more enjoyable. Let's look at one more before we'll pause this and pick it up next week. But number four, walk circumspectly. Turn to Ephesians 5. That'll help you spell it on your sheet. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." And the continuation of the verse explains the context, helps us grab the meaning of the word circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15. So we understand that walking circumspectly is, we are to walk carefully. We are to walk cautiously. We are to walk so as not to be wasteful of time, the time that God has given us to live for Him. To walk with an awareness of the dangers that are along the pathway of life. Acknowledging and recognizing we have an enemy. He is evil. He is wicked, and he has no pity. Satan wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your kids' lives. He wants to destroy your grandchildren's lives. And laugh about it and move on to the next. This is who he is. all in a vengeful act toward God, to showcase our failures and the influence that he can manipulate us with to push that, as it were, in the face of God. Yeah, you died for him. Yeah, you loved him. Watch what I can make him do. We have a terrible adversary, an aggressive, wicked enemy. Zero redeeming qualities, only the personification of evil. And he's after you. He's after me. He doesn't let up, doesn't take a single day off. He's customized a strategy and he modifies it each and every day to be as effective as he possibly can to pull you away from a faithful, consistent walk. He wants to trip you. He wants to detour you. He wants to distract you. He wants to cause you to just come to a stop. He wants to put obstacles in your way that look insurmountable. And if you're not walking by faith, they could be insurmountable. But with faith, all things are possible. Walk circumspectly. In other words, being very aware of the dangers that are around us. We are surrounded by evil influences. And if we're not cautious, they can deflect and detract and defeat our daily walk. 138th Psalm, verse 6 and 7. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. So humility is key here about walking circumspectly. Listen to verse 7. I'm in the 138th Psalm. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Anybody say ding, 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 ding? Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou art with me. Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. And thy right hand shall save me. Yes, this path that we're on, this walk that we are to be engaged in, there's some dangers about. And we need to walk with that in mind, understanding what the Lord is telling us, to beware of our adversary, to adorn ourselves with the full armor of the Lord, the armor of God, to learn and grow in the knowledge of him and to understand the word of God and to continue to develop our usage of the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, quenching the fiery darts of the wicked. How's your walk tonight? How was your walk today? Let me ask you an obvious question, rhetorical, of course. You think there's a potential for you to walk a little more pleasing to the Lord tomorrow? Yes, there is, for all of us. But no one is a passively growing Christian. Somebody write that down. That's really good. Can you write that down for me, Will, would you? Like the preacher Dad and I listened to a few years ago. He said he got so carried away with his message, he started taking notes on himself. So that's what I'm doing, taking notes on myself. No one is a passively growing Christian. It doesn't just happen because you're situated. Because you don't wake up surprised. Oh, wow, I'm a stronger Christian than I was last month. Who'd have thought that? I never thought that happened to me. No, because the Christian life is a walk. Christian life's a walk. It's only if you have something wrong with you that you would say, well, last thing I remember is I was 100 yards that way and now I'm right here. You say, wow, something not right about that. No, if you move your body 100 yards down the road, no vehicle involved, you had to put one foot in front of the other and walk there. And walk there. And if you're going to grow in the Lord, if you're going to be increasing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, growing in grace, it's not going to happen accidentally. It's going to happen because you're going to put one spiritual foot right in front of the other spiritual foot, leaning slightly forward, and just repeat, repeat, repeat. Let's be mindful of our walk this week. And we return to this next week with four more attributes, characteristics of walking right. Lord, help us to recognize that, Lord, as we even rejoice about great victories in our life and watershed moments of spiritual awakening and conviction and surrender, Lord, help us to recognize the beauty and the duty of simply walking in Christ. Lord, walking in obedience, walking by faith, walking very cautiously, circumspectly, walking in love. Lord, help us to be faithful in the little things, and that you could lead us to great victories of faith in the significant things. Lord, help us to recognize the importance of walking as we ought to walk, so that we would be pleasing to you. Individually and as a church family, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.